Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Senior writer for our friends at SB Nation, Paul Flannery, joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Ben PF.
I'm doing good, Jody. How are you?
Good. Do you remember a trade? I can't just say trade deadline because there were some pretty big deals that happened prior to the last day. So I'll say trade deadline week. Do you ever remember one as active with as many key guys who can have a major impact on the rest of this season in the NBA over the last 5, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, key guys is the right thing there because I don't remember. You know, this is 11 years from me now, and there have definitely been some, you know, big trade deadline stuff, but not this constant flow of big moves day after day and night after night. And, I mean, almost everyone who was rumored to go went, except for, you know, AD, and I'm not sure how close he ever got to getting traded in the first place.
Understood. And I'll ask you about Anthony Davis, but we'll put that aside. All right, of those guys who moved, a couple of pretty big names, one of which I'm not sure of how the fit is going to work. I'm a Marc Gasol fan. He's an all-star player. He's one of the best big men in the NBA. How does his game fit into what the Raptors do? Are they going to have to change the way they do things to get the most out of him? I was not surprised that he was dealt, but I was surprised that he ended up in Toronto, and I'm not sure exactly how he's going to fit.
Yeah, that's the one that surprised me, too, because I really like how Toronto plays when they get small. Pascal Siakam is awesome. He's a total revelation. That dude can play. And then you have Ibaka, who's really best as a small ball five. So they, you know, that's perfect for a lot of the teams they're going to play, with the exception of Philly. They had Valanciunas, you know, and Gasol is definitely an upgrade over Valanciunas, and I don't think they gave up an awful lot to get him. At the same time, I'm with you. I'm not quite sure how this fit is going to work. Gasol is a wonderful player. He's really good. But, yeah, I mean, in an era where everybody's trying to downsize and get more versatile and switchy, all of a sudden Toronto's kind of locked into this weird thing where one of those guys is going to have to sit. And if they go Gasol, they're going pretty big. The fit is strange there.
I like him as a player, and I knew full well that Memphis was going to go down that road. I just didn't see how Toronto was going to be able to do it. Flip side that, the team that Toronto's trying to catch right off their flank is the Bucks, who were able to add Mirotic, who I understand much better as a fit. I think he'll fit nicely into what the Bucks do, and they also didn't have to pay that big a price to get him. I think Milwaukee, although Toronto may have gotten a better player, I actually believe Milwaukee helped their chances more this year. How about yourself?
Yeah, we're two for two. I totally agree with that. And as a trade nerd, I kind of love how they swung that, because they used a bunch of second-rounders they got from the Wizards for guys who aren't even, you know, in the league anymore. I mean, it was perfect. It was a beautiful trade. And Mirotic is really good for what they need because, yeah, I mean, he provides space. He provides rebounding. They can go small. They can go big. They can go small with big dudes, and that's what I love about it with them. He's not perfect. He has not played as well this year as he did last year down a stretch for New Orleans, but he does seem to turn it on in the spring every year, so I love Mirotic for them, and, you know, I think a lot of people were starting to come around to the idea that Milwaukee is really the best team in the East, and this just solidifies that.
Sixers made a couple of deals, one a couple days before the trade deadline, and the funny thing about it was I was on the air in Philadelphia till 2 o'clock in the morning, and the trade gets announced at 2:20. As soon as I get, I'm in my car driving home, and I find out on the station I'm leaving, oh, we've got breaking news. The Sixers have made a deal. And they end up getting Tobias Harris, who, again, if you're talking about fit, his game seems to fit perfectly into what the Sixers try and do. And I hold that the Sixers have, when you're putting Tobias Harris in at the four as compared to Wilson Chandler, you're upgrading mightily. Does it make the Sixers a legit contender to win the East title this year?
They are so loaded. And you saw how they beat, you know, they played Denver last night and, you know, Redick went off. I mean, they got five guys that can go off at any point. I'm a little concerned about their depth. it's kind of an ironic twist. I think I would like the Harris move better if they hadn't made the Jimmy trade earlier in the season. Because if you had Harris and you also still had Covington and Sarge, I think I might like that better, even though Jimmy Butler is clearly the best player out of that group. So it's a lot. It's a lot of guys. It's a lot of guys. It's one basketball. I know you can divvy them up and you can switch them up and you can run your rotations and have different combinations and all the rest of it. Big job for Brett Brown here down the stretch to get this team on the same page, because you know there already were rumblings about how guys are being used and where the shots are coming from and how many shots they're getting. Now you add another guy, and the other thing, Jody, you know, there's three guys that are going to be free agents at the end of this: Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and J.J. Redick. And you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to do in a couple months. That said, man, that is a talented group. They're going to be a handful.
I'll leave J.J. out of this, but that leads me to my next question. If you just take Harris and Butler, both as free agents at the end of this year, there are four different potential outcomes. Both re-sign. Neither re-signs. Harris re-signs. Butler walks. Butler re-signs. Harris walks. Put them in the order that you think they're most likely to happen.
If I'm Philly, I like Harris re-signing and Butler walking, because I think it solves a lot of problems. In terms of what they, you know, when you make those kind of trades, you're kind of committing yourself to making the effort there. Jimmy's the wild card in all this. We talk about all these guys thinking about where they're going to go and how they're going to do it. Jimmy, to me, is an absolute wild card, because he can really do anything. He's got no loyalty to anybody in this situation. So I would think Harris stays, Jimmy walks would be one, the both of them staying would be two. Both of them walking would be bad. That would be almost bordering on disastrous, because you cleared out the cupboard to get both those guys. You know, Jimmy staying and Tobias leaving, I'm not so sure about. I think Tobias in Philly is a really, really, really nice match going down the road.
And the Sixers also decided, addition by subtraction, the Markelle Fultz number one draft pick is basically a nightmare for the 76ers. They got aggressive, traded up, and they haven't even paid that pick yet to the Celtics to get up to take Markelle Fultz, and he's given them absolutely nothing since he's put on a Sixer uniform. I'm not writing the kid off and say he'll never be an NBA player, although that very well could happen, but he had to get out of Philadelphia. I had no problems with the Sixers saying, listen, enough is enough. We just need to move on.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to do when it's not your pick. You know, I mean, Elton Brand didn't make that pick. That was Brian Colangelo's pick. That was Brian Colangelo's trade. You can hang that on him and say, look, we got to move on. I thought they did reasonably well to get a first-round pick coming back. I know it's protected. It should probably convey. And, you know, I mean, you won't find anybody in the league who's not rooting for this kid to get it together. Orlando's a really nice place to do it, because it's a little bit calmer than Philadelphia, as you know, Jody. And Steve Clifford's a really good coach, and they've got a need. They absolutely have a need for a – I'm not quite sure Markelle will ever be a point guard in the traditional sense, but they have a need for a lead guard. They got a young team. That's a really nice fit for them. But, yeah, I mean, look, I can't remember something like this happening before. I mean, Bennett, when Anthony Bennett was number one pick, he was clearly a disaster from start to finish, but this isn't the same thing. And so, yeah, no problems with what Philly did and what Elton Brand did on that one. And you just kind of hope the kid gets his career back on track, or at least gives himself the opportunity to have a career, because right now he doesn't have one.
The East was pretty busy at the top with teams trying to solidify to battle each other come playoff time. Not so much out West. Golden State didn't do anything, but you can argue they didn't need to do anything. Denver's got depth and are still waiting for guys to come back from being injured, so they didn't make any significant changes. Portland decided to stay pat. Houston tinkered but didn't make any massive changes. Why the East as active as it is and the West minimally active at best?
I think you got two things. You got Golden State's in the West, and so is LeBron. And so all of a sudden there's a clear path in the East that didn't exist before. But, yeah, I mean, the one I'm surprised by is Utah. I thought Utah was going to do something here, because I've liked them all year long, even when they struggled. I went into the season thinking that they might have a chance to be the second-best team out there. I still think they could, but I would have liked them a lot better if they had Conley. I would have liked them a lot better if they had gotten into the Mirotić business. I mean, they're a shooter or two away from being a real handful. Utah was the one that I was surprised to have, Pat. you know, Houston was trying to get on a luxury tax and do what Houston does. But, you know, if you're Denver, there was nothing to do. You got too many guys already, and as you say, some of them are still coming back. Watch OKC now as these buyout guys start to hit the market, because OKC's got a couple of spots. That might be a destination for some of these guys, but it depends on who gets bought out.
Wayne Ellington ends up in Detroit.
Weird.
Yeah, why?
Playing time. I mean, you know, there's an opening there, and there's a chance to, you know, he's been kind of buried this year. Chance to get his groove back and get a contract this summer.
Did Washington make a mistake by not trading Beal?
No, not yet. But I think they'd be making a mistake if they don't even consider it, which is what they're saying right now. But that's classic Washington. They never want to look at the reality they're facing. I mean, the Otto Porter thing was just bizarre. I don't have a problem with them trading Otto Porter. Didn't love what they brought back. I mean, that's a team and a franchise that has to bite the bullet, swallow hard, and just go full tank. And Bradley Beal, man, like, you think about this summer when all these free agents are out there, there's a lot of cap space. Not everybody's going to get somebody. You put Bradley Beal out there with 2 years left on his contract, you can get a lot for that guy. I think it would be a dereliction of duty for Washington to not even consider it, but, you know, that's why they are who they are.
All right, the Anthony Davis thing to L.A. didn't happen, although they exchanged a whole bunch of possibilities, and New Orleans didn't like anything that the Lakers put out there, and the Lakers finally said, we're tired of making offers, forget about it. I guess that it's now just wait till the summer when Boston can get involved, because they've got a lot of assets too. Is it a given that Davis is going to end up either in Boston or L.A., or could the Pelicans decide to continue the waiting game into the season?
I don't think they can wait into the season. The one team that I think could get into it is the Knicks, especially if they get the number one pick. That's compelling. That's really compelling. Yeah, and whoever else gets the number one pick might have a chance to sort of get in there for whatever reason they might have. And I think it's been Boston, L.A. the entire time. And, you know, there is a scenario here. They were not going to trade him to the Lakers during the season because they were mad. They were mad that they were getting held up. They were mad that this was put in their face a week and a half before the deadline when they're trying to make the playoffs and people are trying to keep their jobs. They were not trading him to the Lakers at the deadline. That said, there is a scenario here. You know, Danny Ainge is a hard negotiator. If he holds back on various things or whatever, some of these young Lakers start playing better. Maybe that offer looks a little bit better this summer. I still think it's between Boston and L.A. I think the ball is in Danny's court. It will be fascinating to see if he gives up Tatum. I'm not convinced that he will.
And in one of the greatest Mac Daddy moves I've ever seen in my entire life, LeBron James on the NBA draft night decides to take Kevin Durant first, which you can certainly make an argument for him that he's the best available player, LeBron and Giannis on the side, because they're the captains. Oh, by the way, he's a free agent at the end of the year. Then he comes back and takes Kyrie, who at one point we were told may never talk to each other again. They had one nice conversation. They kind of kissed and made up. So he takes him third. He takes Kawhi Leonard fifth. Oh, shockingly, Kawhi Leonard's a free agent at the end of this year. He's got to take James Harden, who's the MVP, best player. He's got to take him at the bottom of the first round. He's not a free agent, but he didn't have a choice. It was either take James Harden or Kemba Walker. And even LeBron couldn't pull the trigger on that one. And then in the reserve round, he takes Anthony Davis, who he's been trying desperately to get for 3 or 4 weeks. And, oh, by the way, Klay Thompson, who's a free agent at the end of the year. The best recruiting tour ever in the history of any sport, LeBron James the other night in the NBA draft.
Unbelievable. And you know what's funny is I missed the telecast because I was at the TD Garden for a Celtics-Lakers game. But, you know, I was just shooting around in the morning, and after LeBron did his media thing, you know, he was just kind of chatting with a couple of us. And, you know, he said, oh, yeah, we did the picking this morning, and you'll have to watch the show. And he wouldn't tip his hand. Would not tip his hand, wouldn't say anything, and he was kind of running through. He was like, who did I get right? Yeah, I got that guy, I got that guy, I got that. But he wouldn't tell us who he took. He takes every free agent on the board, which is hilarious. And, like, Giannis is like, yeah, whatever. Let me just pick my friends.
Yeah, he took Middleton. Awesome. First in the reserve, give me my guy, Middleton, my teammate. Yeah, he might not be the guy who deserves to go here, but I don't care. He's my teammate. I'll give Giannis this much. LeBron's got an ongoing relationship with Ben Simmons, and Giannis took Simmons before LeBron was going to take him. Ended up trading him for Russell Westbrook. That's not a bad deal. When you can get Russell Westbrook for Ben Simmons, that's about the only thing I think Giannis got right.
That's great. He got totally played. I mean, you know, look, he's young. This is his first time around the block. LeBron's been here before. You know, but no, that was GMing the way LeBron would love to be a GM. if he could do that, he would be a GM tomorrow.
I think Pat Riley and the different GMs, the several different GMs that he had in Cleveland, might tell you that he's already a GM. He's been doing it for years. So no one should be surprised by what he pulled off in the All-Star Draft. PF, thanks much for hopping on board. Always a pleasure. You lend insight. Whenever you come on, we'll be reading you all year. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, Jody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.